Well, good morning, everybody. let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus to open up with, Exodus 1 and 2. You know, mothers, today is Mother's Day. And Mother's Day was started to honor mothers. And mothers are a very important part of this world. You know, without mothers to teach children how to be polite, how to have manners, how not to kill each other, this world would be a lot harsher of a place to live in, wouldn't it? And mothers do a lot of things for us. Can you imagine what life would be like without them? They teach, they nurture, they love, they comfort, they support, they enrich the lives of all of us, and especially the lives of their children. Hopefully every single one of us can look back in our lives and see the many things that our own mothers have done for us and taught us throughout the years. Mothers have a huge influence on the lives of their children, even well past adulthood. Even after they have died, a mother will continue to have that lasting impression on their children and their children's children. Today, as we think about our mothers and honor our mothers and all that they have done for us, I would like to look in the Bible at two specific mothers who passed on perhaps the most important thing a mother can teach her child, their faith. So we're going to first look in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2 at a mother. I couldn't find a place where her name was mentioned, but it's Moses' mother. And the problem was, and this is what happened, in Exodus 1:22, we see the verse, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." So this is what Moses' mother was confronted with. See, this Pharaoh did not know Joseph. That's what the Bible says. It says, "A Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph." And he saw the Israelites and how fast they were growing and how strong they were and healthy they were and how big their people group was getting. And he started to get a little bit worried. Because he was worried they might get bigger and stronger and badder than us. We better do something about this before they take us over, before they run me out of power. So he made them slaves. He tried to break them. But God just kept blessing them and strengthening them even further and further and further. And so they kept growing. They kept getting bigger. And he just was still worried because he wanted to stay Pharaoh. He was scared they were going to run him out. So he then made a new law. At first, the law, he got all the midwives and told them, if a Hebrew woman bears a son, kill the son. Well, the midwives refused to do so. You know, they're women who help other women give birth. I just don't think they're willing to kill that child, you know. The whole reason they get into that field is because they love babies. And they refused to kill those babies. And when Pharaoh asked them why, they actually lied to Pharaoh and said, well, these Hebrew women, they're just so healthy, they pop them out before we can even get there. And so Pharaoh then said, okay, fine, I'm just going to make a commandment. If you're a Hebrew and you have a baby boy, you need to throw him in the river. And that was the commandment that Moses' mother was confronted with. In Exodus chapter 2, 1 through 4, we see, "And there was a man, there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to him a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it by the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." So here she is. She gives birth to a healthy baby boy. That's what it means by goodly. She gave birth to this child, and it was a healthy, alive, kicking, screaming baby boy. And she knew that Pharaoh said, kill him. Throw him in the river. But she wasn't going to do that. Because she knew that God said, thou shalt not murder. And so she hid the baby for 3 months, which actually is pretty incredible if you think about it. Babies are not quiet creatures. They can be very loud, stinky. I don't know how you hide a baby for 3 months, but she did it. But then she finally came to the point, the realization that I can't hide this baby anymore. There's no way I can keep him hidden for any longer. So she kind of obeyed Pharaoh's commandment. She built a little boat out of bulrushes and tar pitch. She made a little tiny boat. She put Moses in the boat and put him in the river. So she put her baby in the river. She just gave him a way to survive. And she just trusted God to take care of the rest. She couldn't do anything more to protect her son. She couldn't do anything more to keep him alive and not to kill him. So she did what she knew best and trusted God. She had faith that God would take care of her child. And we all know how the rest of the story goes, don't we? It just so happens that the princess of Egypt happened to be taking a bath in the river, and she heard this funny little noise, and she tracks it down, and she finds this little basket thingy floating in the river with a baby in it. And she just thinks, oh, how cute. I want it. And so she takes Moses, takes him, adopts him as her own son. And then, of course, because God is humorous, his own mother gets to be the wet nurse. Can you imagine that? She gave up her child, put him in the river, thinking, God, you're going to have to take care of him. And God worked it out so she could even raise him. Paid for by Pharaoh, the one who told him to kill the child. She had faith that if she did what God told her to do, then God would take care of the rest. And wasn't Moses one of the prophets? Wasn't he one of the people in the Bible that probably had the most faith? I mean, think about all the miracles that Moses did. Where do you think he got that faith? Well, at first he learned it from his mother. And Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Even in the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews praises Moses' parents for their faith, his mother, for having the faith not to obey the king, but rather to obey God and let God take care of her child. And then secondly, and like I said, the result, Moses was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. In Israel, among the Jews, there is no one, the only person that they might consider more important than Moses is Abraham. Those are the two big names. You know, it's Moses and Abraham. And Moses had a huge influence because of his faith that he learned from his mother. And yet, he would not be here if his mother had not trusted God in the face of an evil king. And you know, I'm pretty sure he saw that and learn something from it, don't you think? The entire history and nation of Israel, and even the entire history of the church, were all dependent upon this one act of faith by one Hebrew mother who, when faced with an impossible situation, as it seemed, she still did what was right and trusted God to take care of it. The second person I want to look at today is Hannah in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, Hannah was in a different type of predicament. You see, she was barren. But that wasn't all that was wrong, you know. It wasn't only that she was barren. That's bad enough, isn't it? You know, she wants a child, she wants to bear children, and she can't. God had shut up her womb, it says. But what made it even worse was she wasn't the only wife of her husband. Her husband had two wives. And the other wife was having lots of babies, was bearing him plenty of children. And in that culture especially, the worth of a wife was often very much thought of in terms of how many children, how many male children she brought into the family. I'm not saying that was right, but that is how it was in many of the minds and hearts of the people of those days. Now, I don't believe, as you read through the story, it seems to me that Elkanah, the husband of Hannah, did not think that way. He loved his wife Hannah, and he told her, you know, I don't care if you don't have children. You're still my wife, and I still love you. But his other wife was using it to just keep stabbing her in the back. I've got kids, and you don't. You're not a good wife. I'm the better wife. And it was just tearing Hannah apart. There we go. And in verse 5 through 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." That's Elkanah. Elkanah gave her a worthy portion. He gave her more than he gave the other wife. So for some reason, he loved Hannah more. I don't know. Maybe the other marriage was a political thing. Who knows? But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary, that's the other wife, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So Hannah's co-spouse with her husband, the other wife, was really using this to hurt Hannah. And plus, Hannah wanted a child. And so she did the only thing she knew what to do. She went to the temple and she prayed. In verse 11 it says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the infliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." She was vowing that if God gave her a boy, that she would dedicate him as a Nazarene, Nazarite, from birth. Normally, this was a vow that a person would take upon themselves for a set period of time. They would say, okay, I'm going to dedicate myself to the Lord for this amount of time and serve the Lord and, you know, work in whatever it was. And to start the vow, they would shave their entire body, and then they would not cut their hair again until the vow was complete. And when the vow was complete, they would reshave everything, and the vow would be done. But Hannah here says, I will dedicate my child from birth, and no razor shall come upon his head. So he was dedicated from birth to be that servant of God for life, is what she told God. You know, she made a promise. And think about this. The promise that she made to God was dependent upon God's actions. She said, God, if you give me a child, a son, I will give him back to you. But that is predicated on the fact that God must provide the child in the first place. I think that shows a lot of faith, doesn't it? She had enough faith to say, God, give me a child and I will give it back to you. She wanted, and you know, I don't think it was this case where the only reason she was going to give her child to God was if God gave her one. I think she desired to see her children serve the Lord and to follow the Lord. But I think she also really did want that child. She wanted a son, even if she had to give him up. And so God, so there she goes into the temple, and she's praying, and she's so upset. She's praying. It says her mouth was moving, but there were no words coming out. So she was praying in her heart. She wasn't praying out loud for everyone to hear. This was between her and God. Her and God alone. And Eli, the priest, he sees this woman in the temple. Her mouth's moving. She's not saying anything. She looks very emotional, very upset, very out of place, and he assumes she's drunk. He thinks, oh, there's something wrong with that woman. She must be drunk. Talk about a little bit of a judging attitude, huh? And when Eli came up to her and said, well, why are you drunk? You need to stop doing that. And I'm amazed that she didn't get angry at him. But rather, she just very humbly said, no, I'm not drunk. My heart is broken. And I'm praying that God would grant me a favor. And Eli just told her, well, God's going to grant you your, may God grant you your petition. And this is where we really see Hannah's faith. We really see it. Here we go in verse 20. Oh, no, that's too far. 18? Yeah, sorry about that. Then Eli, verse 17 is what I'm looking. She's told Eli, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So he says, God will grant you your petition. And this is where we really see Hannah's faith shine. It says, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Year after year after year, every time they went up to the temple, she was in sorrow. She refused to eat. She was just absolutely heartbroken because she had not had a child. She had not borne her husband a child. And when Eli says, the Lord grant thee thy petition, we see a dramatic change in Hannah. She goes and eats, and her countenance was no more sad. That tells me she believed what Eli told her. Isn't that? I mean, it seems pretty clear that she believed Eli, that when Eli said, the Lord grant thee thy petition, she took that to be a promise from the Lord. And she acted accordingly. She said, okay, God's going to take care of this. And she went and resumed a happy, normal lifestyle. And God gave her that son, Samuel. And here's where we see a second big step of faith. Because she weaned the child, which usually happens around 2 or 3. I think, I'm not sure, I can't remember if the Bible says. But there's no way, he was probably no older than 6. And she took him up to the temple with her. When they went up to the temple to worship, that, as their annual tradition was. And she gave him to the temple, took him to Eli and said, here's my son, I've given him to God. And she left. She had faith. She said, God, I'm going to give my son to you. She not only followed through on it, but by following through on that promise, she showed that she trusted God to take care of her child when she obeyed the promise that she had vowed. And it says, you know, the Bible says that she brought him a coat every year when they came up. So she kept up with him. But think about it. How many of you would be willing to take your child to someone you barely know at the age of 5 or 6, take it to a church or something, and give it to the pastor and say, here, he's for the Lord. Bye. I don't think so. Now, I'm not saying that this is the kind of thing that every one of us needs to do. No, of course not. But that's the faith that Hannah had. And the result we see is Samuel. Who was Samuel? Samuel was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. Just like Moses, he was a godly and powerful prophet. When Samuel spoke, God listened and things happened. He was eventually used to anoint David as the king of Israel. David, who would be the ancestor of Christ. His mother's actions had a huge impact on his life. If she had not made that vow, then God might not have opened up her womb. If she had not followed through on that vow, then Samuel would not be the man that he became. It was only through her faith that Samuel became the prophet that he became, the faith of his mother. And I'm pretty sure that those few years that she was raising him, She was preparing him for what she had vowed. She was teaching him, you are God's. You are to serve God. I've given you to God. You are to do it to the best of your ability. You know, they say the first couple years of a child's life are the most important in instilling their sense of morality, their sense of justice, their sense of God. And when I say their first couple years, I'm talking when they're 2, 3, 4 years old. Those years are extremely important. And during those years that Hannah was pumping her child, I'm sure she was just pumping him full of this sense that he was God's. And he was to be used of God. And so when he went to the temple, it's very clear he was a very good child. And he did worked hard because of the faith of his mother that she had shown in what she did. You know, there are many things that mothers teach their children throughout their lives. They teach them how to have proper manners when eating at another person's house. They teach them how to properly wash themselves and wear clean clothes and not look like a slob. They teach them to get dressed. They teach them how to go potty, how to be polite, how to live. And all of these are very important things that a mother teaches their child. But the most important thing a mother can teach her child is how to have faith. Amen. And unlike many things, faith can't be taught just through explanation. Faith must be taught by showing. It must be taught by example. Both Samuel and Moses had great faith. They did amazing miracles and wonders and led the people of Israel through very difficult times. And yet, where did they learn to have such great faith? Where did they get their faith? I think it was from their mothers. Because as we can see, both of their mothers had great faith. So is it any wonder that the sons had great faith as well? They had great faith. They could move a mountain. Motherhood is not easy. Bearing children is not easy, especially in the world today. I'm sure I gave my mom quite a few headaches and troubles. I've seen one picture of me covered in flour in some kitchen. I don't know. With water everywhere. That must have been a mess. I don't remember it. But I am sure that in the end, both Moses' mother and Samuel's mother were proud of their sons and proud that they had taught them the most important lesson of all, how to have faith in God even when things don't seem to be going right. Okay, let's pray and then we'll have the... I can't think of the word. Invitation, that's the word. I kept wanting to say offertory, and I knew that wasn't right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. I pray that you'll be with us and help all of us to have faith like these two mothers did. And I pray that you'll help us to pass that on to our children. All right, let's turn in our hymn books to 262, 262, Cleanse Me.